Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Meet
BT.
What's going on, man?
I'm great.
Yeah, you look like you just got done golfing.
We did.
Yeah,
it was a fantastic day. Thanks to a couple of friends, Tim and Lynn, who had us out at St. Louis Country Club.
Oh, fancy! But, how many balls did you lose?
I only lost two.
BS.
And technically
BS.
One. One was playable. We just couldn't find it.
So you just got drastically better than the no exaggeration. You at least lost a dozen balls last time we played.
14 or 15.
Yeah.
There was a lot of water on that course, like 13 of the 18 holes.
Can I ask a question as a golf novice? How is a ball playable if you can't see it?
It gets lost in the grass sometimes, in the rough.
It's unplayable.
It's just a matter of, do you want to look for it for 10 minutes or just drop another one down and call it a loss?
But if you can't see it, you can't play it, which would make it unplayable.
It's in play. It's in play, which makes it playable. You just can't see it.
We need to redefine these things.
Well, basically, Meat hit a lot of balls last time we golfed that there was just no finding him. So I'm glad to hear that, Meat.
Thank
good for you.
I've
good
been working
you.
On it.
All right, good. What are we fighting over today?
We've got some Cardinals tickets on Sunday, August 25th. The Cardinals wrap up their series with the Rockies, and that day, 30,000 fans, 16 and older, will take home a replica of the 1944 World Series championship ring, just like the one the players and coaches received 75 years ago. Get your tickets now at cardinals.com/promotions.
Very nice. All right, let's bring in today's fighter. It's Derek. Derek, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much. You ready to take on Megamind today?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. Question number one. Off the top today, we talked a little bit about the 2011 Cardinals. Who led that team with 14 wins? Was it Chris Carpenter, Kyle Loesch, or Jaime Garcia?
Let's go Kyle Loesch.
Question number two. We're going to be talking about shrinking major league stadiums in the next segment, which is very difficult.
Not like literally. Another great 90s movie, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Right.
Honey, I Shrunk the Stadium.
That's what's
happening.
Rick
Moranis.
Good job.
Yep. Very good.
When are we going to get him on?
We're working on
it. Dead or alive, Rick Moranis.
He's alive.
He's alive. He's got to be alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
Woo!
Wasn't there a dog in that movie?
Dead.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think there
no
was.
No doubt.
Little
sure.
terrier.
Yep, dead. All right. Which? Sorry, every dog in every movie you've ever seen is dead.
Air Bud.
Dead.
Which one?
All of them.
Dang it.
Yep. All right. Where were we? Okay, yeah. So which current Major League Stadium has the highest attendance capacity in MLB at 56,000? Is it Coors Field, Dodger Stadium, or Fenway Park?
Dodger Stadium.
Question number three. Derek, the Browns have traded running back Duke Johnson to the Texans. Who is the only Browns running back with a 1,400-yard season? Is it Peyton Hillis, Jamal Lewis, or Jim Brown?
Let's go Jim Brown.
And question number four, next year, the Yankees and White Sox will play a game at the Field of Dreams in Iowa. In the movie Field of Dreams, there's a famous line. All right, little blank.
It's a fill in the
blank. So, yeah, we need you to fill in the blank. If you build it, who will come? Is it he will come, they will come, or we? So he, they, or we?
He.
All right, let's bring in Randy.
Good job.
That line, by the way, is in a lot of movies.
Yeah. Is it really?
It is.
All right, bring Randy in. I told Meat before he did that one, I'm like, not cool, bro.
Yeah, I know.
And I also told him to put that on his question, like that he has to say it, but he didn't do that either. So
you did a great job.
Thanks,
though.
Man. Derek, how are we feeling about this one?
I'm 50-50.
All right, good.
Okay,
good. 50-50. I mean, that's darn near half that he feels like he got right, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a win. Randy, say hi to Derek.
Derek, how are you, sir? Good to talk to you.
Hey, Randy, how are we doing?
Doing great. Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing.
All right, Randy, you ready for this?
Yes.
We got ourselves a fight. Question number one. We talked a little bit about the 2011 Cardinals off the top today. Who led that team with 14 wins?
14 wins. It was not Adam Wainwright. It was not Edwin Jackson. It was not E-Jax. So you had Carpenter. Let's go through the numbers here a little bit. You had Jake Westbrook. I don't think it was him. So who else was in your rotation that year? You had Jaime. I guess I'll go with Carpenter.
Question number two. We're going to be talking about the shrinking major league ballparks.
Oh.
Which current stadium has the highest attendance capacity in the majors with 56,000?
56,000. I think I would probably go with Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles, California, Chavez Ravine. I'll go with that.
Okay, Randy, question number three. The Browns traded Duke Johnson to the Texans. Who is the only Browns running back with a season of 1,400 yards or more?
It's got to be Jim Brown.
Question number four, Randy. Next year, as we were just talking about, the Yankees and the White Sox will play a game at the Field of Dreams in Iowa. In the movie Field of Dreams, there is this famous line. Fill in that blank, Randy. It was in the middle. If you build it,
they will come.
All right.
They will. The fans will come, you'll fill that stadium.
It's they will come. All right, we got a winner. Derek, congrats, man. You got him 4-2. It is Kyle Loesch led the team in wins. Had 14 of them in 2011. Dodger Stadium has the largest capacity, 56,000 it holds over there. Jim Brown is the only Browns running back with a 1,400-plus yard season. And if you build it, he will come. It's his father is the he.
That's a different... I guess that
same voice.
That line, yeah, same voice. But they also did the essence of the movie was if you build it, they will come.
But the line was
the dad.
It was always the dad.
Spoiler alert for people who haven't seen it.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it was never said in the movie. If you build it, they will come.
No, it's if you build it, he will come. And then at the very end, spoiler alert, Ray Liotta looks at the catcher and says, he will come. He's talking about his dad.
Yep, okay. Always he. Either way, Derek, congrats, man. You got him, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks, Daryl.
Derek, don't get his name wrong because he beat you.
Derek. Oh, okay.
Thanks, Daryl.
Thanks, Daryl.
Close enough.
So then where did if you build it, they will come from?
Just
it's a misquote from
it's
the field
people
of dreams.
Quoting stuff wrong, yeah.
I get it. Okay, cool. It's a Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And Big Sis and I had a great time this morning with Tim Jones and Lynn Jones out at St. Louis Country Club. Thanks to those two for their hospitality and allowing us to play golf with them. We had a wonderful time, and hopefully we'll be able to do it again sometime.
Meat said he only lost two golf balls today.
Which is incredible. Yeah,
I said he was lying. Can you vouch for that?
We had a four caddy named Charlie.
Oh, so Charlie was all over it.
Yes, he was. And he was fantastic.
All right, good.
It is 4:14. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. New stadiums are being built across Major League Baseball, and they've all got one common trend. That's next on 101 ESPN. Well, the appetite for live baseball in America appears to be shrinking, and teams that are building new stadiums now are building those stadiums with smaller capacities. The Camden Yards ballpark, they were fine. The 40 to 45,000 seat stadium, that's according to Oakland A's president Dave Cavall. But he says that was 20 years ago. And now, as teams are trying to find new parks like Tampa Bay, like the Oakland A's, Cavall wants to find a ballpark that has or build a ballpark that only has a 34,000 seat capacity. The Rays were trying to build one that had a 28,000 seat capacity. A reduced capacity now at Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg, 25,000. Stadiums in baseball are getting smaller and smaller, and I think that's going to happen with every sport as we go along.
Well, what's the worst case scenario for a team if, in fact, you do build a new stadium? It's, we'll call it 30,000, okay? It's just 30,000 seats, and you're sold out all the time, and people, like, want more and more. That's a great problem. It looks good all the time. You could probably boost your ticket prices if, in fact, that were the case, and maybe you can get more, you know, more churn that way. Like, that. It's a lot better look than it is some of these places that are enormous that have nobody there. And certainly Tampa Bay is not a great gauge of that because it's just a bad place. And you're not going to draw well there until they get a new place, most likely. But we're seeing right now, even in current stadiums that are built, the Busch Stadium holds, 45? Right around there. But they're even building the Budweiser Terrace, yep, where it's cool areas. You're seeing more ballparks building areas where you can walk around the entire thing. And most people that have gone to minor league ball games, a lot of minor league ballparks are set up this way, where you can walk around the entire thing. Like spring training facilities, yes, especially in Arizona, mm-hmm, are set up that way, where you can walk around the entire thing and you have different aspects. So there's a party porch and there's a bar and grill and there's barbecue areas. Like that, you're building more of a social thing currently, and there's no reason to build 55,000 seats for a baseball stadium currently.
Yeah, a lot of it is optics, and I believe teams understand there's no real reason to turn on they don't want people to turn on baseball games, and when they pan the crowd, you see so many empty seats. It's not killing the sport or anything, but it's just a bad look.
Yep.
Yeah, and what's the point of having a stadium that can seat 45,000-50,000 people if you never fill it? With the exception of, let's think of it this way: how many times at most ballparks per year is a ticket an impossible ticket to get on a nightly basis? Opening day, and maybe during the playoffs. And some teams, even during the playoffs, they still have some seats available that you can buy day of. So, yeah, you might as well make the ballparks a little bit smaller. I know it's cheaper to do that. And with a lot of cities and taxpayers helping fund some of the stadiums that get built, making it cheaper is a better idea.
Tampa Bay has never averaged over 20,000 fans in attendance.
That sucks.
It does. But there's no reason for them to build a 40,000-seat stadium. 25 would be fine,
right,
for them.
Well, and it allows you to spend money in other places. I mean, so, and it also allows you, by the way, just thinking from a real estate perspective, you can look for a smaller, print. I mean, like, oh, got a little smaller piece of land. Who cares? That's fine. We're going to make that work. We'll figure it out. I do still believe that there are some clubs and there are some cities that they're fine with how things are. I believe that St. Louis is one of those places. The Dodgers, I couldn't see them going to a smaller place.
Right.
They do great there. And by the way, they're not going anywhere. They're putting a lot of money into renovations and trying to pep some things up over there. But I think that there are some. But even like you look at Shea, man, Shea was huge. That place was so big. They built Citi Field and they made it smaller and a little bit more intimate. Same thing with Yankee Stadium. While we all know the cathedral that was Yankee Stadium, they built another one. They took out a bunch of seats. It's just kind of, it's where we're at right now. And that's, by the way, that's not just baseball. I feel like it's most sporting events. Like a lot of times, you see a lot of empty seats places.
Well, let's just put it this way. They're not going to lose any money by making stadiums smaller. You would if the demand was there. Like you mentioned, L.A., Dodger Stadium, they're going to get a ton of people every year. They beat everybody in attendance every single year with that giant ballpark. They're leading in attendance in 2019. In fact, the Cardinals are in second place in attendance in Major League Baseball. So those cities, you're not going to want to shrink the ballpark. It doesn't make sense to do it. But for the most part, it is going to be cheaper to build a ballpark. You're not going to have this high demand for nightly tickets. It's just not like that right now.
No.
Anybody can, even at Busch, you can walk up any night and be like, I'm going to go to the game tonight and buy some tickets, and there are going to be some available. So for most markets, it makes a ton of sense to shrink the park.
With declining attendance, and attendance isn't horrible, it's just declining. But with declining attendance and declining television ratings, which once again aren't horrible, they're simply declining, I'll be interested to see what happens with baseball revenues over the next 5 to 10 years, because they'll max out in terms of what they can draw. And I think the demographics will max them out in terms of what they can get to the ballpark. How do they monetize, like what happened yesterday with a game on YouTube? How do they monetize the 2-minute highlight package that the millennial wants to watch rather than sitting down to watch or listen to 3 hours of baseball?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And that is, I think, certainly a potential work stoppage is something that Major League Baseball is facing right now that might be on the front burner. But that is something that Rob Manfred has talked about, and people around baseball have talked about. How do we keep growing this game and figuring out different ways? And they've tried to speed up the game, and they're trying different. It's, you know, YouTube. Last year it was games on Facebook, trying different things. And you're going to have to continue to keep being creative. I wonder, just from a just a TV standpoint, because you're talking about revenue, it's 2 minutes of highlights instead of 2 minutes of commercials. I wonder if you will see more and more of the, like, squeeze back commercial during a broadcast. There are a couple of them on Fox mm-hmm. Sports Midwest where it's like a quick moment, blah, 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 squeezes in, squeezes out.
Which I don't mind those at all.
Well, and I would think
they're
about
not
this.
They're not intrusive.
Like, if I were a company paying for those, I would love that, because people yep. are already watching. I'm in, I'm out. Whether people love those commercials, hate those commercials, doesn't matter. They're seeing those mm-hmm. all the time. So I think that makes sense. I think another way, just talking about sheer revenue, and this isn't necessarily about people at the ballpark and making money that way, but I do believe that we're very, very close to just seeing advertisements on uniforms. Like, that's yep. happening.
Some people are driven nuts by that. I'm not.
I don't care either.
However, as long as I have good players wearing these
exactly.
advertisements, I don't care.
If advertising on a uniform means my team has more money to spend on payroll and they're going to go do that, then by all means.
I'm in.
Yeah, I don't care.
And baseball is never going to take over like you see in soccer, where it's just the sponsor is on the front, mm-hmm. and that's like what that's never going to happen. You'll see a little patch here and there. Anybody that's ever seen any, like, winter league, winter ball, like, you have advertisements. Sometimes it's like down the pant leg or you know, on the back of the jersey, stuff like that. It doesn't bother you. At the end of the day, it's still a ball game.
Baseball's a business. It's always been a business. So if you're longing for the days of like 50, 60 years ago, teams have always been trying to figure out a way to get more money out of you. So just, you know, if it happens to be on the uniform, it's really not going to change your enjoyment of the game. You might not like it, and aesthetically it's probably not very pleasing, but you're still going to watch. You're still going to root for your team. And if it helps your team win, so be it.
I think it was back in the 20s. That's another Ballantine blast. That home run brought to you by Ballantine Beer. You
know, that's been advertising all over the walls forever.
Yep, they have, so no big deal. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, we want your questions to our Hot Shots text line, 65780. The Sports Six Pack is coming your way on 101 ESPN. We appreciate your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. And with your questions for us, here's Big Sizz.
Do you guys think the Cardinals value Carlson and Gorman too much, and too much with their hesitance to make a trade before the deadline?
It just depends who it is. Yeah, not. I don't believe that for a rental player, like, if that's going to be the case. And you know what? When your system, when you've made a few trades here recently and a lot of your depth is gone organizationally, you are going to want to hang on to what you believe to be your best players. So I think that there has been a history of, not just with the Cardinals, but just in baseball, of teams overvaluing prospects. I mean, that's real. Like, it's your guys. You drafted them. You developed them. And maybe you think higher of them than the market does. But I don't think so this year with those two.
For rentals, yeah, I don't think I would have traded them. But if it gets them something that makes them better this year and past it, then for sure. I don't know if those deals were available to them or not. I have no idea. But I think the real answer about whether or not they're being overvalued can't be answered right now. I mean, I have no idea how good those two guys really are. I don't watch them play on a regular basis. They think highly of them, but if in like 3 or 4 years they're not helping out at the major league level, then I think you can answer that question. Yeah, they overvalued them.
With the recent road trip, all the struggles that have come with it, do you think the Cardinals are doomed when it comes to making the playoffs?
Doomed, I tell you.
Randy.
Doomed.
Yeah. Smite them right now. Do it so we can keep the audio and play it back again.
They aren't making the playoffs.
Keep going.
Why
not?
Not this team. Well, they cost themselves that opportunity when they didn't get a starting pitcher at the deadline, but they can't hit enough either.
See, I can't tell if you mean it or if you're just saying it because you're supposed to be giving up right now to help them win.
Look at the roster and look at the stats.
So I know, but which is it? Do you really mean this?
Who cares? Because the answer is yes. We're going to play it again when they win.
The only thing
I mean it.
Okay. Because that's the only way it's going to work.
Do you think this team is good?
No.
They're like...
I think they're better than average.
Aren't they 11th in the league in runs scored or something like that?
They're average-ish. That's what they are.
11th isn't average. Seventh or eighth would be average.
Well, in that category, but I'm talking about like if you...
Overall?
Yeah.
Like their bullpen's been good.
Yeah, so you put all the things together, they're average-ish.
Their starting pitching actually has been better than we would give it ordinarily credit for.
Right, but the thing is, Randy, in order for this whole thing to work, you have to believe it. The only way teams come back is if you believe they're going to be completely toast.
Can I give you... Let's do 90 seconds here, okay? Chris Bryant or Matt Carpenter?
Chris Bryant.
Javi Baez or Paul DeJong? All due respect.
Javi.
I'll go Javi as well.
Tony Kemp or Colton Wong?
Colton Wong.
Paul Goldschmidt or Anthony Rizzo?
Goldie, still.
Yeah, Goldie, I think.
Wow.
Maybe.
The Cardinals catchers are going to win. Weeders is going to beat whoever, Paul or Victor Caratini or whatever,
if Contreras was available, which in 3 weeks, he's back? Yeah. I'm taking Wilson Contreras over Weeders.
Okay. And then outfield, I think that we can reasonably say that even though the Cubs are struggling, Hayward's having a good year, Almora, and now Nicholas Castellanos, I think you probably take Ozuna in left.
Yeah.
Center field, you going to go Almora, Fowler?
Yeah. It's a toss-up.
Yeah, and then Hayward or Martinez. And then here's the big thing.
The rotation.
It's the rotation. Right, you've got Lester, who claims he's the weak link in their starting rotation right now. Hamels is back. Kyle Hendricks is tearing it up. Darvish is pitching well. And
got no
Quintana.
Bullpen, though,
and
Randy.
Then Quintana's number five. So, yeah, that's true. I'll just take the Cubs.
Well, that's the point. We need you to believe it.
What was that?
I don't know. But
where did that come from?
What did you guys say?
Can't believe you guys said that.
That's both of you.
That's you too.
I'm not in on that.
That's not you too.
You're in there.
That's something
from
the fast lane.
Let's listen to that again. Let's hear.
Yeah, there are three people on that.
There's two people.
I hear three. Yep.
There's no way.
Yeah, you're in that.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder how that happened.
I don't know. Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
Oh, somebody did the old say.
Oh, yeah.
You hate the St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay. I got it.
And then there was a follow-up question. And
you guys are tricky.
And apparently we save everything.
Anything. Okay.
Super Bowl odds as of right now. The Patriots and the Chiefs are both at 6-1 to lead the NFL. After that, the next six teams, out of the next six teams, five of them are from the NFC. The Rams, Saints, Bears, Eagles, and Packers.
Bears.
Which NFC team do you think has the best chance of making it to the Super Bowl?
Saints.
Yeah, probably the Saints.
I'm going to go with Philly.
Whoa.
Despite the loss of Chris Long, they add Jordan Howard to their backfield. They plan on having a healthy Wentz. They lost three offensive linemen last year, including Kelsey and their left tackle Jason Peters. I really do like the way that team is coached, and I like their chances to be in the Super Bowl.
If they have a healthy Wentz, I can see that happening, yes.
And DeSean Jackson is back.
I would agree with you.
They got a lot of good pass catchers over there.
They do.
So we talked earlier about the Yankees and the White Sox playing at the Field of Dreams in Iowa next season. What sites, locations would you like to see a sporting event happen at? For example, maybe a professional baseball game at the Sandlot.
That would be cool.
Heine Miney Field.
Are you talking about something that hasn't happened yet?
Sure, something that has something, something that you would just like to see.
I've always thought the basketball game on the aircraft carrier sounds really cool.
That is cool.
Like, I'd like to be, it was a Michigan State, who did they play? I forgot, but they played a game on an aircraft carrier. I think that'd be awesome.
Off of San Diego,
I was just thinking about Space Jam. I want a basketball game in space.
Ooh,
I think would be really
be fun.
Cool.
Yeah, the ball would never come down, though.
We'd figure that whole gravity thing out.
That'd be a
certainly
problem.
We could do a little something there. I did see USA Today wrote a piece along these lines of stuff they wanted to see, and one was a boxing match in the Coliseum. That would
the
be
the Roman
be
Coliseum.
Really
Roman
great.
Coliseum.
Oh yeah,
gladiators. Now we need some big time boxers. We need like stars to be there, but that would be cool.
I was watching a documentary the other night.
Oh no.
And I don't know. Did you know that Drago's son is a fighter now?
Is he really?
And so is Apollo Creed, the late, great Apollo Creed.
Are you serious? They're both in the game?
And they fought each other.
Get out of here.
They did.
How, was this on Showtime or HBO? Or?
HBO, yeah.
It was a boxing match that we didn't even talk about on this show.
We didn't even know about
Golly,
it, I guess.
You know what? We spend so much time on the Cardinals and the Blues that we let stuff like this
How big would that be,
fingers.
Though? If guys, you had, like, Apollo Creed's son fighting against Ivan Drago's son.
Guys.
Oh, if only Rocky were
those
there.
Are, guys,
he
those
was.
Are,
he was training
what?
Creed's guys. Son. It was unbelievable.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So
and you know, Drago was training his son.
Maybe we can get this on demand or something and go back and look at it.
Those are not real people. They're movie characters.
Well, they're not real
it was
to
not
us
a documentary.
Because they're unattainable, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was not a documentary.
They're special.
Oh, yeah. This was the song, remember? Remember when Rock did his thing?
Yeah.
Golly, he was so good.
And they played this, when... So Creed was losing, and they call him Donnie. His name is Adonis, but they call him Donnie. I don't know how or why. But so he was losing. Then he got up and he punched Victor Drago right in the face and knocked him backwards. And you start hearing this song.
Oh, man, that's good. I got to watch this fight.
Guys, here's
how you see it.
Great
all right,
documentary.
All right. Here's how you know this isn't real.
How?
All right. Creed's son is a boxer, correct?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah, he's great.
His dad is dead.
Yeah.
Carl
Rest
Weathers
peace,
very much alive.
Who's
God,
Carl
who
Weathers?
Who cares about that guy?
That's the guy who played Apollo, dad.
No. Apollo Creed is dead.
Yeah, Apollo Creed is dead. Carl Weathers very much alive.
Well, who the hell is talking about Carl Weathers?
He's the one who plays Apollo.
Right? All right, riddle me this here, Batman. If, in fact, this stuff's not real, why is there a statue of Rocky Balboa in Philadelphia?
Thank you, Brad.
Bam.
Boom. That just happened.
Because
a statue.
Because the people in
He's
Philly...
He's a man!
Because the people in Philly are really weird. And
mean?
They decided to put up a statue of a person who didn't exist?
Nobody would do something like that. You're not going to put up a statue
Nobody.
Of a fake idol. It's not going to happen.
Carl Weathers, though, is alive. And he's 71. 71 years old.
Hmm.
Apollo dead. Carl Weathers alive.
Apollo's widow is alive.
Is
Mrs.
Right?
Creed. You know, she has a striking resemblance to Ahmad Rashad's ex-wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I was
Small
shocked.
Small world, man.
Well, Carl Weathers has been divorced 3 times, so I guess they're all alive still.
Hmm. Well, by the way, we get one of these. I don't know how we got down
Bottom
this
line,
road.
Creed and Drago number 3 at the Coliseum in Rome.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's how we got here. Yep. We got a text that says there should be an NHL game at the pond from Mystery, Alaska.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Would be kind of fun.
How about an NHL game on the frozen Mississippi in St. Louis?
What a great idea. It doesn't freeze that much, Randy, and we can't put these players at jeopardy of...
Dodging bodies?
How about if we just put... How about if we do it in Nashville?
Where?
What's that river right next to the Titan Stadium? The Cumberland River.
Okay.
We'll play in January. Let the Blackhawks and Predators play on the Cumberland River.
That's the river. Is that the river Jeff Buckley died in? Anybody know?
Not sure.
All right.
Dead or alive, Jeff Buckley.
Dead.
Dead.
Which is what I'm looking for.
He was a singer.
That's kind of what we're looking for
right?
with the
No, he's dead.
Blackhawks
What kind
and
of stuff did he sing? Probably sad tunes.
Yeah, he covered...
Jeff Buckley is a comedian. It's like you
oh,
know you're a redneck.
Puppet.
No, you're a redneck if.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
That's
Close
Jeff Foxworthy. Jeff Buckley covered Hallelujah. That song.
Hallelujah.
The Leonard Cohen song. That's the one.
He covered Hallelujah?
Hallelujah. Yeah. That song that Randy's singing.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
That's the one. And then he died in a river. Not that one.
Hallelujah. That's a good one. They played that after.
I think that's that's the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. That's
They're
different.
Great too.
They are really good.
Don't
very
they play
talented.
That when the Cardinals score a run?
Holy God.
I told you about that, right? I hit three batters, walked three batters in an inning, and gave up a three-run home run in an all-star game in high school, and they played that coming off the field.
You did.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay. We got number six here.
This is, I think, number five.
Oh, cool.
So
wow.
All the people are kind of calling your bluff here.
Oh, this is six.
With all this information you guys are giving about the movies, documentaries, and all that, are you sure you are credible sources?
Holy. You know what?
Yeah, I'm going to take – I'm sure.
Why are you, I am.
Why are you reading stuff like that? Because now all you're doing is encouraging people to send in those kind of texts.
Another one, like this one.
Here we go.
From the 314. You just wait until Carl weathers away.
Okay. All right. We're better than this.
I don't know if we are.
Are we, Ron? Yeah. Are we?
By the way, we do get another text. That's it. You know, just talking about crazy things that you could see somewhere. Somebody says, how about a football game in St. Louis? Would be something that they
would
see.
That'd be pretty fun. Well, we got the XFL coming.
On the way, 1 year.
Darn right. Yep.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780.
God dang it. I'd like to see BT pitch in the Grand Canyon.
Oh, hey,
that's
you
from
know,
the 217.
We've heard about the possibility of that because some of the home runs that were hit while you happened to be on the mound.
Thanks, Skip. Tony's the best.
Oh, come on. This segment is getting a little rocky. Do you see what you've done? That's your fault and your fault. That
you
people
guys,
are sending in text messages like that.
You guys are the best.
Terrible.
When you watch the Cardinals, do you ever feel like guys are in positions that are out of their comfort zone? That's next on 101 ESPN. It is 8-8. So 7-9 isn't Jeff Fisher Day. 8-8 is. So happy second Jeff Fisher Day.
I thought it was 6-10.
Well, you know why 6 is afraid of 7?
Why?
Because 7, 8, 9.
Tell them, Ronch.
Oh, there you go. How many Cardinal players are playing out of their comfort zone? Carlos Martinez yesterday blowing the save in the ninth inning as the Dodgers won the game by a score of 2-1. And Martinez, while he has spent time as a closer and has spent time, a lot of time, as an effective reliever, right now, is he in his best spot to succeed as the closer for this baseball team?
Yeah. Yes. To me, this isn't a guy playing out of his spot. To me, this is a guy that couldn't, not trying to use a pun here, but shoulder the load of starting, and he's a very effective reliever. So I don't think he's out of a spot here.
I would say if we're getting technical about it, yes, because he should be a starter.
Yeah, but he's not capable of it currently.
Yeah, I still don't understand it. I know that he apparently has some reservations about it himself, doesn't he?
I don't care where he's going to dinner, Ronj. I just don't think that he can start games and give you 100 pitches. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So whether he's going for steak, pasta, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I just wish he could start games. With you.
It was kind of weird the other day that Tommy Edman, who never in college or in the minor leagues played a game in the outfield, was the Cardinal right fielder. That seemed kind of strange to me.
So to me, a situation like that is it's strange when you're not hitting. Because when you're hitting, nobody cares where you go. You look at the Dodgers that
plays,
put people.
Right?
Well, that's kind of part of it. Like sometimes you put up out a defensive alignment, and if you're the pitcher, you might look at it and be like, I don't know. But if you score 7-8 runs, who cares? And there are teams that do that. There are teams where you look out and be like, oh, that dude is playing second base or wherever. But those teams generally hit, and that's a problem. And that's the head-scratcher sometimes with the Cardinals. And Anthony brought this up as we were doing the crossover, Anthony Salter, and he said he was bringing up Lane Thomas. You know, why isn't Lane Thomas given a shot? And I didn't have a really good answer for that because I'd like to see what the guy has also and give him an opportunity. But guys playing out of position or out of their comfort zone, to me, means very little in the game of baseball right now if offense is coming with it. The problem for the Cardinals is currently the offense isn't coming with it.
Yeah, and especially for Tommy Edman. He's not offering anything at the moment. I'm not sure what they're looking at with the 241 average, 272 OBP, a 397 slug. That's for the season. So if you're going to put him in right field, I would understand it if he's providing something for you offensively, but he just isn't doing that either.
In 2011, you talk about the bat playing, BT. Alan Craig played 5 games in center field.
Get it, Alan.
And 8 games at second base.
Perfect. It's fine. It's fine because he was raking.
Yep, big time. And if Tommy Edman were hitting like Alan Craig did that year, we wouldn't think twice about him being in right field.
Or like Jose Martinez did last year at the beginning of this year.
And now Jose Martinez has turned into a stud in the outfield. Well, he's pretty good.
He's fine.
Well, he's better than he was.
And by the way, Munoz and Edman are fine wherever you put them too. Munoz can play some outfield, by the way.
Yeah, he can.
He moves really
good.
Well.
Yeah.
And they're actually more comfortable with him in center field. You've seen him get a bunch of starts there. They're fine. It just comes down to this team. And nothing looks good for a ball club when offensively you're struggling. Like, it doesn't matter if you put it together where you look on paper and it's like, oh, looks like everybody's in their right position. You scored no runs. Who cares? Everybody wants to blow it up anyhow. You got to try to be creative. And for all of the crap that we give the Cardinals and, you know, you listening, watching, say, oh, why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? Look at all the different things that they've tried. You know, nothing seems to be clicking right now.
Well, you're talking about the individuals. Munoz isn't even producing offensively.
No.
So Edmund's not doing it. Munoz isn't doing it. Martinez has been below average in the National League. So all the guys that you're counting on to give you a lot of, to give you anything, and you're allowing them a lot of ABs, they're not doing anything for you right now.
Hopefully this day off will give him a chance to just kind of press the reset button.
We're talking about guys playing out of position. We get a text from the 618. It said, oh, so kind of like Carp playing third? Real nice.
Last year, and by the way, it's Marp. Last year, Marp was, I believe, second in the National League in defensive runs saved playing third base. I think only Nolan Arenado was better last year.
That's crazy.
That is unbelievable. That might tell you something about the stat, but I'm going to buy it because it's good for us.
It's our guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
he can field the position.
Yeah,
the problem is the arm across the diamond is.
Right. Doesn't look great.
Right. I guess as long as you're getting the dude at first, you know, then fine. But
yeah, that's at the end of it. And really, I mean, he makes the plays that he needs to make over at third. They don't look pretty. So I was talking about Carlos Martinez right off the top about, hey, he's just not. They said organizationally he's not ready to throw 100 pitches. Can't do it right now, so he finds himself in the bullpen. We do get a text that says Michael Wacha can't throw 100 pitches either. Valid currently as a starter. That's an issue, but it's an issue as far as personnel goes, not a guy being out of position necessarily. It's an issue that you don't have enough depth to be able to throw somebody else there.
Oh, this isn't a Mike Schilt issue, I don't think. I don't have any trouble for the most part with what he's done, the lineups he's putting together, even though I really don't want to see Edmund batting second. I don't think that makes much sense at all. But by and large, I'm fine with the job he's doing. I think this is more about the construction of the roster. It just isn't. It is less than optimal. Let's put it that way.
So we get another text, too, about guys playing out of position. This one from the 636 said, what about Dunk in the outfield and not at first base? Team won the World Series, boys. Absolutely.
Who was playing first base?
Albert. But the bat had to play. You think Dunk was out there for a defensive replacement? No, he was out there because he had 23 home runs or whatever it was.
Right?
And, like, he was a threat. And that's what the Cardinals are missing desperately currently, is a threat. In an age of, in a year of, and a decade, whatever, it's home runs now, right? Like, the ball's flying out of the ballpark at a torrid pace. The Cardinals looked like early on in the season they were going to be one of those ball clubs where it was like, whoa, we're just going to homer everybody to death. They don't do that now. I watch MLB Network all the time, seeing highlights of homers left and right. Mm-hmm. You don't see the birds on the bat that often, you know?
No.
They're missing danger right now, and that's something that Mike Schilt talks about. We need danger, and it's not just home runs. Certainly it's doubles. It's hits with runners in scoring position. I believe in this last series, the Cardinals were like 2-for-17 or something. I mean, it was bad with the clutch hit, but all of that stuff is fixed if, in fact, you're just swinging it.
Manny Ramirez was an atrocious outfielder, but he got to play the outfield for a couple of different reasons. One, they had a DH, and that guy was even better in David Ortiz, and Ramirez was slugging 600 every year. So when you're bad in the field, you get to be out there if you can produce. And that's why Manny was in a position, well, actually left field. I think they generally put the worst outfielder in left, mm-hmm. for the most part, teams do. That's why he got to play, though, because he could hit. The problem the Cardinals are running into is they have too many guys who aren't doing either thing very well at the moment.
It is the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, and coming up, Jalen Ramsey is one of the best talkers in the NFL, but it didn't just start when he got to the league. That's next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.